Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. Our guest today is Ali Rosen, author of Bring It, Tried and True Recipes for Potlucks and Casual Entertaining. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I want to ask you first, what is a potluck in your definition? Because I feel like it's an event that has sort of shifted over time. And what do you think it was traditionally in the popular imagination? And what does a modern potluck look like?
Yeah, and I think that's really the entire key to Bring It, which is this idea of potlucks as kind of this like sad basement, you know, fundraisers or a church basement or, you know, school potlucks. I mean, that I don't believe that that's what it has to be. You know, today, almost every dinner that we have, people are bringing something. You know, the idea that you would have a dinner party and not say to your friend, hey, do you mind, you know, bringing the salad or can you bring a dessert? I mean, that is a potluck. You know, if you're sitting around with your friends, you know, for the Super Bowl or the Oscars and everybody brings something, that's a potluck. So to me, a potluck is really just a shared gathering where people kind of take on the meal collectively, which sort of speaks to our modern way of cooking because, you know, we are less formal than we used to. People do want to just sit around with their friends and, you know, have easier meals. People want to cook easier recipes. So I'm trying to redefine what we think of as a potluck and make it really resonate with the idea that this is actually kind of the way that most people cook today.
A quick word from our sponsor. You know that we think food is probably the most important thing ever, but now we have scholarly proof to support our obsession. There's a new podcast being launched by our friends at The Great Courses Plus called Food, A Cultural Culinary History. It's a really fascinating and unique look at how food and eating have impacted all of human history, from war to art to technology, exploration, and a whole lot more. Just search for Food, A Cultural Culinary History on Apple Podcasts or Google Play. And now, back to our podcast. So what brought you to this project? When did you realize this is really a passion point? I want to show people how to do this thing they struggle with better.
You know, I think it's always been kind of a lifetime project for me because, you know, this has always been the way that I cooked. I always like to make things ahead. I like to be totally stress-free when I have people over. And I like to lean on the group of people that are coming. You know, I've never been shy to say to people like, okay, I'm going to make dinner. Hey, will you bring the appetizer and will someone else bring the dessert? And, you know, as I kind of looked around and saw that was sort of the dinner party that I was having, it made me think that we kind of needed a collection of recipes that would reflect that, you know, where it's, you know, people think of potluck items as like casseroles or like they just have to be cookies. And actually, like you can transport most types of food. You just have to think ahead a little bit and make sure that you're not overcooking or undercooking or that you haven't sort of thought through the space that you're going into. But I think this has kind of been, you know, a lifelong passion for me of coming up with recipes that look really more exciting than they actually, you know, the amount of time they took to make. And so this was kind of the vehicle for that.
And obviously a big part of this book is the how to bring it sections. On the recipes, you have these sort of make ahead and reheating and really important portability transport instructions. So I'd love for you to walk through kind of some of the tips and tricks that you find are really helpful when thinking about making food and serving it somewhere differently than it's been made.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing is just to have as much information as you can. You know, if you're going to somebody's house and you need to reheat, you know, you should ask them if there's going to be space in their oven. Similarly, if something needs to be refrigerated, is there space in the fridge? I mean, those are kind of the easiest things to solve just by, you know, gathering information. And the second thing is, you know, if you are bringing something that requires heat, you really need to think about the residual heat that will happen from when you cook it to when you bring it. So, you know, a lot of the recipes in Bring It are hot dishes. This isn't just like a collection of, you know, things that you can serve at room temperature, but you do have to think like, okay, you know, if I'm making a meat or a fish dish and it needs to be reheated, then you want to undercook it a little bit. And you want to also make sure that you're not storing it. You know, a lot of these recipes can be stored in the fridge and then brought back up to temperature, but you really want to make sure that you allow it to cool completely before covering it and putting it in the fridge. Because once you cover it, then you're really trapping that heat in. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong. And that's kind of where that, you know, standard idea of a potluck as like overcooked food really comes in. And then the other thing is like, if you aren't confident of all those things, then there are room temperature recipes for every scenario. You know, we have a ginger beef recipe that is, you know, totally room temperature. There are two fish recipes that are room temperature. You know, there's a watermelon ribs that are really great hot. They're really great cold. They're really great at room temperature. So I think the other thing is, like, don't be afraid with main dishes like meats to have them at room temperature. Like, not everything has to be hot to be good.
I love that. I feel like one of my biggest anxieties as a cook is this feeling that everything has to be exactly hot at the exact same time and be ready to go, when realistically people kind of want to graze a little bit. People maybe want to go back for seconds and feel like there are things that are still tasty. And I think that speaks a lot to how people entertain now. Can you talk a little bit about sort of casual entertaining and some of the things that you see now when people entertain that you love, and some of the things that maybe scare people away from entertaining more that shouldn't?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been this gradual shift both at home and in restaurants towards sharing, right? Like, you go to a restaurant now and it's all about the share plates and the, you know, sort of communal feeling of entertaining, you know, whereas it used to be, you know, I think that when I was growing up, you know, and sort of, you know, my grandmother, when I think about the way that she used to serve it, it would, like, she would compose an entire plate, you know, it would be like formal. And that was also the same in restaurants. And I think people now are just, you know, we are on 24/7. We have our phones, we have technology, we're working more. And so I think that when people gather around a table, they really want it to be relaxed. And, you know, that doesn't have to mean there's no effort in it. I mean, I think my one pet peeve is people thinking, like, oh, cooking is going to take me so long, so I'm just going to, like, buy a bunch of stuff and stick it on the table. And that, to me, just feels like, you know, if you're hosting people, if you want to give people that sense of hospitality, like, you can try a little bit. But I am, you know, I'm a fairly lazy cook. Like, I don't want to, I'm not the person who's like, I'm going to tackle this cake that takes all day and then it has to rest and then I have to do it. Like, I am not that person. So, you know, I really wanted to find recipes where it's like, it looks beautiful. It looks like you made a lot of effort. But a lot of them, you know, a lot of these recipes are just, like, very simple. I mean, about a third of the book is 30 minutes or less. So to me, that's kind of the way we all want to eat, of, like, simple food, but that looks fun and exciting, where you don't feel like you compromised, but you also, you know, when you start eating something, it's gone fairly quickly. So if you don't want to spend all day on it, like, that's okay too.
And I love that you've really gone beyond the sort of traditional potluck go-tos. I think we all know, okay, in a pinch, you can bring a bottle of wine. Most people feel like they can bring a store-bought dessert, but having the confidence to bring something that you've made is really, I think, tough. And you do it with everything from vegetable sides to salads. What are the things that you tell people to just sort of build their confidence as cooks and get them to feel like what they're making is good enough to be shared?
Well, I would start with understanding where your skill level is, because if you're bringing something, you might want to start with something easier. And, you know, first of all, like, a salad is a great place to start. If you have a really interesting salad that doesn't require a lot, you know, like, one of my favorite salads in the book is a carrot salad, where you're just kind of peeling the carrots with a vegetable peeler, and then it has some, like, parsley and some sesame seeds and some pomegranate. And, like, that, you know, you can have never cooked anything in your life before, and you can make that, right? But it's just beautiful, you know, because it has a lot of color. And I think there's, you know, a number of dishes in this book that sort of speak to that skill level of, like, okay, I want to make something. I don't want to have to make a test, because that's always my least favorite thing. It's like trying out a new recipe that I'm going to bring to somebody. So then I want to test it first, and it ends up being this totally difficult thing, you know, and then working your way up from there. I think also getting, you know, standard things that you make all the time that people look forward to. You know, my sister's mother-in-law bakes these loaves that are just amazing. And she lives in Connecticut and I live in New York. And if my sister comes home from a weekend in Connecticut without one of those loaves, I get very sad. You know, so, you know, finding recipes that really work for you, I think, you know, for when you're bringing to people, and then, you know, you can then start to branch out and test a little bit more. But I think just not being afraid, because people get so hung up on this idea that they can't cook, when a lot of great recipes aren't necessarily even that complicated. You know, there's, like, a fig and goat cheese and rosemary toast in the book. I mean, all you have to do is just chop stuff, you know, but it's the flavor combinations that make it special. It's the presentation that makes it special. So finding those kinds of recipes means that anybody can cook and anybody can bring something quickly and easily.
And I have to ask, what is the thing that you bring when you're going to someone's house and they say, don't bring anything? You know, there's always people who have dinner parties and you can tell they really just kind of want to control the experience from start to finish. What do you tell people to bring in that case?
Yeah, I think you really want to bring something that then doesn't have to be served at the meal. You know, I think that obviously, you know, you can always bring a bottle of wine. But if you want to make something, you know, bring something that can potentially be served at dinner if they want to, or they can keep it. There's a recipe in the book for these chocolate sesame truffles, which are really lovely, but they also hold really well. So you could bring them, you know, put them in a cute box or in a bag and bring them. And then it's something for them to eat later or eat, you know, 2 or 3 days later, you know, which is kind of also like, again, you know, chocolates, wine, I mean, those types of things do really well. But if you can make them and they're a little more shelf stable, then you're kind of giving them the opportunity to make the choice. Because I agree with you. Sometimes people really don't want you to bring something that they then have to sort of, you know, put as a puzzle piece into their dinner party that they've thought through. But it doesn't mean that you can't bring something for them that feels a little bit more homemade than just like, here's a bottle of wine, you know? I mean, which we've all done and is great. But if you want to make it more personal, you can.
Allie, thank you so much for coming to talk with us today. It's such a useful book, and I think will really help people build their confidence and know what to bring for all kinds of events. So thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Check out the book, Bring It, Tried and True Recipes for Potlucks and Casual Entertaining, and tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.